This morning, I only got about 5 minutes prayer, which was a really bad start to the day. So I thought, well, let's give a talk about prayer. How important prayer is, everybody. We all need this reminder, including myself. Ephesians chapter 6. Prayer is so important. It's our lifeblood. He's filled us with the Holy Spirit. He wants us to communicate with him. And, our flesh is weak. Spirit may be willing, but our flesh is weak, as it says in the scriptures. But, we still need to make it a focal point to set aside time every day for a substantial amount of prayer. Ephesians chapter 6. Just one verse here. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, in tongues, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So there you go. Pretty simple. It says here, Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus, telling them to pray always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and also watching for that, of course, coming of the Lord, and watching out for our salvation. But praying always with all prayer and supplication. Jude 20 says, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So these are very simple verses to tell us to always pray, keep praying, building up yourself in the Holy Ghost, in the Spirit, and that then helps us actually to watch with perseverance, gives us strength to watch and persevere through what we see around us, and to persevere, to look forward to that end thing, that hope that passes all understanding. Kind of, you know, we hope for when the Lord comes back. I think I got some scriptures muddled up there. James chapter 5 and verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So this prayer is so important here. If any of you are afflicted, I mean, who is not afflicted? I mean, there's stuff going on in our lives, you know. Let him pray. It just says simply there, if anyone is afflicted, let him pray. If there's stuff going on that's getting you down, you've been buffeted by whatever's going on inside you or outside you, let him pray. And then when you have your moments of merriness, sing psalms. Sing praises to God. And then as it ties up with Rod's testimony, anyone sick, you know, let people pray over him. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. So this prayer is just such a powerful thing. And when you're in moments of affliction, sometimes it's really hard to pray, really tough. I remember, you know, I'd get on my knees to pray, and all I can think about is what's going on in my life. I can't even focus on praying. But you're just thinking about this stuff. But the Lord just says here, just pray. Let him pray. Just pray. just pray. Like, you can't really over... Pardon? Plumbing the depths. You just can't overstate it. Just let him pray. It's just so simple and yet often so difficult. Mark chapter 11. Just pray, everyone. Pray. Mark chapter 11, and you know, I will qualify. I'm coming off a day of very minimal prayer myself, where I let other things get in the way. So we all do it. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shalt not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. And this prayer thing, you know, it starts out saying about a mountain. And we understand, you know, walking in the things of the Lord, sometimes we can look so far in the future that there's this mountain in the way. Like we're praying for something and there's this insurmountable mountain or even a mountain range. Like the whole Himalayas seem to be in the way and you've got to somehow cross and get exasperated. But it says here, if you pray, the mountain would be removed and cast into the sea. You know, I'm thinking about this whole casting into the sea thing. Often the ocean is depicted in the scriptures as all the people around you, like the nations and stuff. So perhaps, you know, clutching at straws here, you know, that mountain will be removed and just scattered and lost in amongst everything else around you. So you can't even see that the mountain doesn't exist anymore. You just go day by day by day and you just pray that that mountain will be removed. And you'll get answers to prayer and you start to see things happen. Mountains stress us out, you know. Like, oh, no, how am I supposed to get to this point where I want to be, but there's a mountain in the way? Well, you pray for that mountain to be removed and just scattered so that you can't see it anymore. It's scattered in amongst a sea of people and you just pray to the Lord and you can see this thing coming to pass. It says, when you stand praying, also forgive. You know, like if that's that whole pure heart business. You know, if you've got aught against a brother or sister, then forgive. And that opens up this whole removing of mountains and answering of prayer. You know, so when you stand praying, forgive. And then you'll be forgiven your trespasses and you'll have that pure heart to be able to see the end, you know, to be able to see beyond that mountain range, this insurmountable mountain range. Sometimes that can also be a mountain in your life. You know, if you've got something, some gripe against a brother or sister, that can be a mountain. So pray and remove that, let it scatter, and then you'll be able to see the beauty in that saint. That it says elsewhere to cast this beam out of your own eye, and then you'll realize, yes, they are perfect in God's eyes, and there's beauty in them. So that can be another sort of mountain. So pray and forgive. If you have aught against others, then that softens your heart, and you'll be able to see things better without mountains in the way. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Great little story here. A little favorite of mine. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 1. So we read here, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle, Jehoshaphat being the king of Israel. So Moab and Ammon and also some others. Down in verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, to pray to the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Down in verse 12, and this is Jehoshaphat speaking, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. You know, this is a mountain that's in the way, this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. I love that verse. We have no idea what to do, Lord. No idea. But our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord, and their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude or mountain, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. So this battle is not yours. So Jehoshaphat and the rest of Judah is told here by this prophet to not be afraid or dismayed and distance themselves from the battle, because the battle's not theirs. The battle is the Lord's. And if we've got this mountain in the way, to remove that mountain, you leave it up to the Lord. I like what Andy said in his testimony. You know, he was trying to find his caravan and then the Lord just found it for him. You know, he's doing things in his own effort and wasn't getting anywhere. But out of the blue, it just cropped up. You know, the Lord did it. And then we can often find in our own lives, like, the battle is the Lord's. It says in verse 15 there, for the battle is not yours. Okay, it's not your battle to fight. It's actually God's battle to fight. And then in verse 17, it backs it up, you shall not need to fight in this battle. You know, you don't need to. Stand still. this whole concept has been cropping up in the last few weeks. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Like, be still and see the salvation of the Lord. Just pray to the Lord and don't put your effort in. It's the Lord that can remove that mountain and throw it into the ocean when you pray. Just pray and fear not and be dismayed, for the Lord will be with you. And so I read this and it just, the Lord's asking us not to meddle in his battle. Know what is God's battle and what we need to do. You know, I understand, you know, we need to ask, seek and knock. You know, there's sometimes we need to sit and incubate and wait, and then there's a time to act. But we need to know what battle is not ours and leave it up to the Lord. I often, what goes in my mind in the last few years, if you don't know what to do, well, don't do anything. if you're confused as to what to do, well, don't do a thing. Just pray. Pray to the Lord to remove that mountain. And it can be tiny little things, you know, or it can be really big things. Like, I don't know what to do, Lord. Well, don't do anything. Incubate. Pray. Just pray to the Lord, because then the battle's not yours. If you know exactly what to do, then, yeah, fair enough, do it, you know. But you do not need to fight the battle. You do not need to meddle and try to work out what to do. And we read down in verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, this is Judah, they began to sing and to praise. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. So they're in love with each other. No, they were killed. They were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy the other. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were all dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. So this here, the nation of Judah didn't do a thing. All they did was sing and to praise. Sing and to praise the Lord. And so you could just, that's where it all began, was singing praises. And I often think, like, you might have times where you just can't sing praises because of whatever's going on in your mind. But I've just got written here, just do it even if you can't. Just sing praises to the Lord even if you can't. The Lord wants us to sing praises to him. So even if you can't do it, just do it. And then we get this great blessing where the mountain's removed. The Lord fights your battle for you and get a great victory. And then, of course, verse 25, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And there were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. 3 days. Now, I'm assuming they would have carried an awful lot away in 3 days, the whole city of Jerusalem. So much. Such an amazing blessing. I mean, first of all, an incredible blessing to have this confederacy beaten that wanted to wipe out Jerusalem. That was an awesome blessing, which is what Jehoshaphat prayed about. But then there was so much more. There was all this spoil, so much that it took 3 days to bring it all in. And just to quote a verse I read on Sunday, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So when Jehoshaphat and Judah called unto the Lord, as it says, call unto me, they were expecting the Lord to answer them, but they didn't expect these great and mighty things that thou knowest not. But it started with just praying to the Lord, relying on him, letting the Lord fight the battle, knowing the battle was not theirs, and also just praising his name, singing praises to God. Because, I don't know, just imagine, the angst, this great multitude of people, three nations that have come together to fight against Jerusalem. I mean, I bet there are people that were just distraught and possibly unable to sing and praise to the Lord. But they did. They did it. They just came together as a collective to sing praises to the Lord, and the Lord fought the battle for them. Over to Luke chapter 18. Great little parable here that helps me out a lot when I'm praying for things. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. So Jesus comes up with this parable to encourage people to always pray and not to lose heart, not to give up, not to think, oh, prayer's not working. I can't see any answers to prayer. Nothing's going on. I've been praying for 3 years and however long it is, and there's nothing happening. But it says here, Jesus is trying to encourage us to always pray and to not give up, to keep doing it. And so this is the parable that he then tells us. Verse 2, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me. This widow is a pest. He just wanted the widow to go away. And then it goes, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. He could see that she was just so annoying and she was so determined. And this bloke, he didn't fear God or regard man. He was just purely a selfish motivation to get rid of this widow off his back because he didn't want to be wearied by her. And so then he decided to avenge her. Like, this is a simple carnal example. They say the squeaky wheel gets the oil, in local government. Blimey, there's some people that are absolute pests. And you think, oh, okay, weigh it up, get them off my back, give it to them for a while. Yep, no worries. And this is what this judge who had no regard for man or God, didn't care about that stuff, apparently, but purely selfish, I will avenge her because she's been annoying. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So it's a great example here. The Lord is gracious. He loves us. We are the apple of his eye. He cares for us. He desires to see good things in our life. He has called us his own children. He is this great God who has a personal relationship with us. So if the unjust judge would avenge this widow for selfish reasons, would not God do the same for us? Because he loves us and he cares for us. He is nothing like the unjust judge. He is this gracious God who wants to raise us up and see us have the joy of the Lord, enter the joy. He wants to see us enter the joy of the Lord. So will he not avenge us speedily? And then there's that qualification. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find these people that always pray and do not faint? Regardless of what's going on, they don't lose heart. They just keep praying and keep praying. That is the faith. Faith knowing that God will avenge them speedily. Faith knowing that God has elected us. We are his own elect. And that he is our Father. That sort of faith, that it's not a waste of time to pray to God. That's the sort of faith. Just keep at it. Keep at it. And he will avenge his own elect, knowing that he has our best interests at heart. to remove that mountain. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, last scripture. Just some simple words here. And verse 16. Rejoice evermore. So there's that singing praises to God. Rejoice. I mean, we can always praise the Lord. He's filled us with the Holy Spirit. He's filled us with the Holy Spirit with signs following. We've got something tangible. We can praise the Lord that he's called us to a group of people that desires to find out what the true salvation message is out of the scriptures. So we can rejoice evermore at the simplest thing, that small seed that he planted. We can always praise him for that. Then verse 17, pray without ceasing. Don't stop. Be that persistent widow. Verse 18, in everything give thanks. Give thanks of what we got. Every good gift comes from above, a certain sign of the Father's love. So give thanks for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's the will of God for us to give thanks for the things that we have from him. It's the will of God to pray without ceasing. It's the will of God to rejoice evermore. Even if you can't do it, if you can't rejoice evermore, if you can't pray without ceasing, well, do it anyway, if you can. Oh, dear. Yes, so you just do it. If you can't, you still just do it. And then the last verse I wanted to read out, verse 19, quench not the Spirit. You know, don't quench it. We've got this, we've been filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Don't douse it out. Keep it alive. Keep it stoked up, burning coals, you know, and that's prayer. That's prayer in the Spirit. If you have a day where you don't get to pray much, then, I don't know, find some time during the day, at the end of the day, something, just pray. Pray always. Pray without ceasing. It's so vitally important. And we know from our own personal experiences, when you have some good days of solid prayer, day after day after day, you're just so built up. Your heart just seems like it's three times the size of your body. It's just so good when you have that prayer. And so simple words here, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and quench not the Spirit. Keep it alive, keep it burning. It's so important. It's what the Lord wants, and it's what's good for us. And we can remove those mountains, and we can see the joy of the Lord. Thank you.